Your Zest Life is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com, Boise, or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. All right, welcome back. This is Your Zest Life. I am your host, Genevieve, and I am delighted and elated to be here with the one and the only Lauren Lee from Inner Guidance. Hi, Lauren.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Oh my God, your voice sounds legit.
Your voice sounds legit.
We're like staring at each other with these headphones and these microphones, but you sound so good.
Thanks.
Yes. Congratulations.
Oh, on the podcast. Well, gosh, thank you so much. It's funny. I was thinking back to this time. I guess it wasn't this time last year. We're like well over a year past quarantine. Mm-hmm. But when you started your podcast, Inner Guidance Daily, and getting to be a guest on your podcast, and now having this come full circle.
Isn't this so cool?
It's amazing. I'm so happy you're here.
Me too. I remember like reaching out to you and be like, will you be my first guest, you know? And you were like, yes, of course, of course. And I remember like preparing the night before and being like, you know, I have to be super prepared. This is my first guest ever on the podcast. And now here we are. And this is your first guest. I think this is so cool.
It's so cool. So on the last podcast, I talked about how I was going on a road trip with my dad.
Yeah.
And I was going to, couldn't figure out the podcast equipment in the car, but I was like, you can't be my first guest though, Dad, because Lauren has to be my first guest. But
wow.
Yeah. Okay. I want to make sure that I give you like a formal introduction though, because you're an exceptional human. And I know a lot of people listening right now already know you or already are following you. But for those who aren't, you're a meditation guide, you're a certified Chopra meditation teacher, registered gentle therapeutic yoga teacher, and the host. This is so cool. You're the host of a top 40 spiritual podcast with Inner Guidance Daily. You can connect with you on your Instagram at innerrebel.co for relatable meditation tips and inspiration as well.
Yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
That's you in a nutshell. But I feel like if we were to really dive in, like we need way more than a nutshell. But you're just such an exceptional human. And I think today, you know, talking a lot about zest for life, but also with meditation, like this is something that, you know, I think it's becoming not just a buzzword. We hear it a lot and it's not just a trend. I think people are really realizing, you know, the importance of being in tune with their mental health.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I feel like we're really diving in deep, and I forgot I have wine over here for you.
Oh, okay. We can kick it off.
Kick it off with wine and a deep talk?
Yes, yes.
So it was funny because you had reached out. Wow, we're like backtracking a lot here. I have two for you to choose from.
Okay.
And
okay.
I really liked the first one because it made me think of you.
Okay.
People can't see it, but it says Thrive, and it actually matches your outfit.
Totally matches my outfit.
It's like
today.
A tropical.
Yes.
I don't know. Like
beachy vibes. Yeah. No, rainforest vibes. Pinot Grigio from California. It's called Thrive. I'm into it.
I'm into it. And it says it's a melon crisp apple and a hint of honey.
Ooh.
This one, though, I know is a good one. It's called Dancing Crows.
Oh. That's funny because that's long. Darren is my husband, you know, but his like spirit animal, the animal that like was always around him is a crow.
What?
Yes. And just a funny side note, we're going to get to the wines. Yeah. But anytime we go to the zoo and we go, because we have a 4-year-old, that's why we're going to the zoo.
Lily's the best.
But anytime we go to the zoo, we go to like the crow bird and it literally leaps off from wherever it is. I swear to God. And like goes directly to him and just caws and talks to him. And he talks back because he's funny.
Is this one we need to save for when we do dinner with you guys then?
Let's do that.
We'll save that one. This one did make me think of you. There was another one that like the description made me think of you. I really overanalyze this if you can't tell.
No, I love it. Can you hear it cracking open? So if you're listening, go ahead and grab a glass of wine.
Yeah. Whatever your go-to is. It's Friday here. It's 4 o'clock.
Yes, and it's happy hour. Right. Yes. Thank you. Well, thank you for inviting me.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you so much for sharing your zest for life with me.
Yes. I feel very zesty today. Cheers, friends. Cheers. Wait, I have beautiful. To take a sip.
Take a sip. Tell me your honesty. I didn't make it, so you won't offend me.
Okay. I'm getting hints of honeydew. No, I don't know what you just said.
No, you're right on honey.
It does taste crisp, really good.
Back of the palate.
Very crisp. Very refreshing. It's very zesty.
It is fairly zesty. This might have to become a normal thing.
It's good.
Oh, it is good. Okay, so then before we dive in too deep, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think it means to have a zest for life?
Ooh. Okay. I feel like to have a zest for life, you're living. Like, you're actually taking advantage of what is in front of you, this magnificent, magical, beautiful thing that is called life that we get to experience. Like, having a zest for life is really going for it. Mm. Trust me, I have been asleep before in my life, asleep with air quotes, or I have been living a life that is not so zesty. But to me, to living a life full of zest. How many times have I said zest so far?
Oh, trust me. I found on the last time, I was like, wow, you say zest a lot, Jen. You're totally good.
I feel like it means that you're 2 feet in. And that has been something that I have definitely worked on myself. Like sometimes I'm straddling, between like, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to go for it? Do I really want to step in fully into my life? And so I feel like in order to feel alive, to feel zest in your life, you're gonna have to have 2 feet in. You're gonna have to go for it.
I feel like I had a moment there where I just like paused and had like a freeze frame. Just when you said 2 feet in, like when you think about that, right? So often we're like, I want to test the water and, you know, see if I can dive in. Like, how does someone go 2 feet in though? You know, in a world where, you know, we're cautious and we're unsure, like how do we get up the confidence or the reassurance to go 2 feet in?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think it's also unique for so many people, but for general speaking and also for myself, like there had to come a moment for me, and I've heard from many other people too, that oftentimes we're going to experience a challenge and it's going to propel you into a certain direction, right? So I feel like in order to have confidence, in order to put 2 feet in, you're going to have to take some steps forward, even when you're not 2 feet in just yet. Mm-hmm. So like a really good example is like, I didn't know I wanted to be a meditation teacher. I didn't know that was going to be a path that I would choose. It was genuine curiosity. It was genuine like of being service to people and being helpful. And even now, you know, I have to remind myself, go 2 feet in. You're going to feel the whole experience if you're 2 feet in. And so getting the confidence is practice. You know, you have to try something. There is no failure, right? There is no failure. So you're not going to fail at something. You're going to have to try, gain trust in yourself, gain confidence. It's a practice. That's why I love meditation so much. It's a practice. And all the things we're doing in life is a practice. Nobody has it figured out. Nobody has it all dialed in. I don't know if I'm making any sense at this point, but.
No, you're making complete sense. And I'm following. I think that, you know, something that, like, I look at what you're doing right now and the things you're doing. And the one that really stands out to me is when you posted that you're making an album cover for a meditation album. Is that right? So tell me more about that, because I think that meditation I see as like a superpower.
Yeah.
Like if you can really dial into your mindfulness. So tell me more about this superpower that you are using in this album that you're creating.
Okay. Okay. This is also goes in hand with what you were asking. Like, how do you get the confidence? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you just go for things? How do you put 2 feet in? How do you feel and like have zest for your life running mm-hmm. through your veins? How do you do this? Oftentimes you're gonna get a creative idea. Like, we are creative beings. We are literally put here to create these amazing experiences, this podcast, this office we're sitting in, like the wine that somebody made, the clothes that we're wearing. Like, these are all just creative energies that are coming through people. Oftentimes we second guess them, right? We're like, but somebody's already doing it, or I couldn't do it, or it might be a little challenging, or I have to figure out things. So I've learned to trust the creative energy that comes through, right? Mm. And to honor it, because it's so freaking fun to create something. Imagine if we knew every answer to everything in the world and everything was figured out. Imagine how boring it would be, right? We wouldn't have anything to explore. We wouldn't really feel like creating anything. We know it. So I think following the creative thread that lives within you is really important in living a zestful life.
Yeah.
And also giving you the confidence to test things out, right? Like just following that creative line.
Yeah, both of them.
And then to answer your question about an album, so it's definitely been something that I've thought of many, many times. And so it's fun, right, to follow the creative path. And then finally just say, F it, I'm going to do it. But the album is something that I thought of even at a teenager, the concept, not an out meditation album.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you a question too. but when I was getting ready as a teenager, as a young adult, even into my 30s, even sometimes now, I'm a little bit more mindful of my own thoughts and the patterns that are going on. But when I would get dressed in the morning or to go out, there's this constant narrative or conversation that's going on. And sometimes it's unconscious. We don't know that we're doing this. Mm. We're beating ourselves up. Why did I eat that pizza? Why did I eat that sandwich? How come I don't look like the models? It's just all this judgment, self-judgment, right? So really self-critical. Have you ever experienced that when you're getting dressed and getting ready or going somewhere? It's like this.
Oh, 100%. Like today, I'm like, should I wear this outfit?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I think absolutely. We all do, right?
I think so. Mm-hmm. So when I was younger, it just stood out to me as like, whoa, like is that normal? Like, is everybody experiencing this? So anyways, I digress. But what the album is it's, the best way I can explain it is that, you know, those fun masks that you put on your face?
Yes.
And they're promising things like cleanse and clear and,
like the face masks?
Yeah.
Like the self-care.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. At first I was thinking like Mardi Gras mask. I'm like, I do.
No. Like, the ones that you put on, like, that are wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they promise things like, you know, you're going to have a glow.
Oh, yeah.
And like all the
anti-aging.
Things.
Anti-aging.
Yes. Yeah. And maybe they do. I don't know. Right. There's probably some really amazing ones. And I personally love them. But this is like that with meditation, though. So it's 7 tracks and a bonus of meditations for the morning, so that you do have that morning glow, so that you are clear and cleansed.
Wow.
So that, you do have a powerful morning. And it's just keeping it light and keeping it fun and keeping it relatable and allowing people to experience meditation the same way we think about putting a mask on our face, which is just something we easily do. There's no like intimidation, right? When you put a mask on your face. And I want people to embrace meditation the same way where, okay, I want to have a powerful morning. I'm going to quickly, like while I'm getting dressed in the morning, I'm going to listen to this power morning meditation and have a powerful morning.
Yeah.
You know, the same way you would be like, okay, I'm going to have clear skin. I'm going to put this mask on my skin and then I'm going to have clear skin. You know, just allowing people to have that experience. Did that make sense?
It does.
This is the first time I've talked about it out loud.
I think I'm like flabbergasted, not because I don't think, just because truly, like if you know Lauren, and I've only known you for a couple of years, maybe we should talk about how we know each other, but, yeah. all that you've done in those last couple of years, it just blows my mind. And you stay so grounded. You stay so humble. And what I was thinking while you're talking about that, like, it's such a clever and great idea. You know, you think about the placebo effect, mm-hmm. which when you think of like pills or even, you know, and like you said, I'm sure those face masks work, but
yeah,
you know, there are times where I'm like, ooh, I just put on an illuminating mask. Like my face is just illuminating the heck out of, like, I'm just glowing right now.
Yeah.
But the cool thing with meditation though, is that like, this is beyond a placebo effect, mm-hmm. right? Like it's legitimately, and you could go into the science and talking about the brain waves and everything, but that how powerful that is. And you know, I think that's something where, let's say someone is just starting off their meditation practice, right?
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of people listening right now are at, where they maybe just started meditating the last year or they want to start meditating.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to them to begin a meditation practice? Oh,
this is my favorite question.
Okay, I could tell you lit up when you were illuminating like those masks.
Like those masks?
Yeah.
I love talking about like how to begin meditation because I love to debunk like all the myths that are around it because I've experienced it myself. I know you have too. Mm-hmm. And I want as many people to come into this practice as many as possible because it really is effective. Like is it the only effective thing to living a rich and zestful life? Mm-hmm. No, but it absolutely can help you. So anybody who's been practicing and maybe like falls out, comes back in, is like, this is kind of boring. I don't really know what I'm doing. Or somebody who's like day one trying to try meditation practice. My advice to you is, first of all, accept any experience you're having. Any experience. You hate it, you love it, you like it, you're in the middle, you're indifferent, you feel forced into it, whatever. Accept anything that you're experiencing.
During the meditation practice.
Like even your thoughts before you get in there.
Okay.
Like just accept that you might not, you might feel weird. You might be hiding it from your partner that you're meditating or whatever it is, right? As long as you're rejecting your current feelings around your practice, like it's going to be a lot harder. So, okay, accept how you feel about your meditation practice and then start small. Like start small, start guided. You've heard me talk about this before. But start 2 minutes a day and you're on your way. Start with a guided meditation. Start in the morning. Carve out 2 to 5 minutes. Meditate and move on with your day. And park any expectations. Like if you're expecting you're going to sit in a meditation and have this like spiritual awakening and like be enlightened and have like everything figured out, you might be disappointed, right? So just park your expectations. Go in, practice, and then set it aside and continue on with your day. And I'll leave it at that for now.
So then tell me more about your first meditation experience. Okay. Like what got you into meditation?
Well, my first time ever sitting in meditation, I was a teenager and I was living in Chicago. You've heard this story before, I think.
But yeah. I like it.
Okay. Yeah. And honestly, I was in so much turmoil. I was in a bad relationship and just all kinds of bad things. Well, labeling bad, right? Like I had a lot of learning from them. And I was seeking relief, honestly. And I think that's what a lot of people are attracted to meditation for. It's relief. And it's relief from the constant narrative. It's relief from things that you're attaching to, like thoughts and feelings. And it's a practice. Okay. So there was a Buddhist temple down the street of where I was living in Chicago. Where I was living was not a nice neighborhood. There were like strange kind of apartments. It was kind of like stacked together in a strange way. The train in Chicago was called the L, and right by the L there was a meditation or a Buddhist temple. And I was again seeking relief one night and I went in there and they were like, come in, you know, very welcoming, but so quiet and so perfectly like serene. And I really felt like when I stepped in, it was like the wind was cold and I was cold and hard and edged and just so sad, really. So I went in and they were doing a meditation. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand. I didn't know at all what I was supposed to be doing. I didn't feel like I fit in. I was very confused, felt very uncomfortable, like, oh, so uncomfortable. And so I just sat there, I listened to the meditation, and in the middle of it, I started just crying. Like it was an instant release. that made me even more uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. It's just where I was in my life. And so I packed up my stuff and the meditation was over. And I remember looking and they were eating like tea. They were having like tea and little sandwiches, and they were talking so soft and so gentle and at ease. And I felt so different that I just said, never again. I will never go here again. I will never try meditation again. That was too scary. I got too close to what was real.
Wow.
And then obviously many things changed, but that was my first meditation experience.
I don't think you've ever actually told me the depth of that story, though.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. But I think what I remember loving about this story is how relatable it is, and that I think when people turn to meditation, a couple of ways. Either one, they're curious about it, right? They've heard a friend do it, especially now so many people meditate and are open about it. Mm-hmm. Or two, like they're looking for that relief. Yeah. They're looking for a release.
Yeah.
And I know like it's... I had some meditation experiences like that when I was getting my yoga certification in Bali. And it's like until you've actually had been in, it's like you like leave your body. Mm-hmm. And until you've been in that kind of a situation, which and there's other ways I think get into that like out of body experience.
Totally.
But it like kind of takes this pressure off of you. Mm-hmm. Tell me more than about post that, like your next time that you meditate, because that was when you really started to.
That was my first like introduction.
Yeah.
And it scared me. What scared me wasn't the meditation. What scared me was all the emotions that I didn't know how to manage. Right. Mm-hmm. That was the scary part, that, oh my God, if I sit still long enough, I'm going to face my life. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge opening to the state of my life, a huge gift to be able to witness that and see, oh my gosh, Lauren, you're going the wrong way. You know, like you need to face this. You need to embrace yourself. Like you need space and environment like that. Did I do that at 19 years old? No, it took me a little bit. So then a few years later, that's when yoga started to really pop up. Like with like studios, and you didn't have to travel far to be able to have a yoga experience. And when I talk about yoga, I'm talking about like the physical form, like the asanas, the practice of that, a movement. And so I started going to a yoga studio, and then that was where I was like, okay, I can face my emotional state. I can face my thoughts after I do physical movement. And that was just the state of being that I was in. I was just really in a troubled place. And I know a lot of people listening can relate, like life is heavy. You're going to go through a lot of things. So yoga, the asana, the physical practice was my next gateway. So that was my introduction. And then I went through yoga training and therapeutic yoga training. And that was like the whole door opened. I was like, oh, I get it. It's okay. I'll stay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So then what, I think that this is another thing that people run into, is they use or they find meditation for whatever its purpose is for them.
Yeah.
And then they get into this like homeostasis with life.
Yeah.
And that's where I find like people, and I relate this back to nutrition with workouts, that people kind of start to fall out of the habit. Mm-hmm. Have you found that with, because I know you'll work with people on being a meditation coach and a guide. What's your advice then, like to keep people, because obviously we know the benefits, right?
Yeah.
We also know it's really good to eat our vegetables.
Yeah.
But we don't do it all the time, right?
Yeah.
So like how can people continue to make that a habit?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, even in my own life, like what I advise is, you know, something I call habit stacking, which is where you're gonna put this interest, this desire you have to try meditation in between other habits that already exist, so that it could be easier for you. But what I have actually found is that in my own life and for other people, and is that meditation ends up being something that you look forward to. So it's not like a have to, it's I get to.
Yeah.
It's like, I get to be here. I get to do this. So I would say anybody who's falling out, you know, remember why you started this in the whole first place, remember how you feel post meditation. Remember the benefits, the gifts, the opportunities that are coming forward to you because you're doing this practice. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes that helps to like reroute, bring you back, you know, bring you back to why you even began and why it matters to you. Me personally, why I continue to do it is because I'm a better human. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely a better human. I'm a better mom. I'm a better partner. I'm a better service to the community that I live in, a better friend. And it's because I'm aware of who I am, like truly who I am.
Yeah.
So it's really been beneficial to me. The other thing I wanted to tell you that I just remembered while you were asking that question is that I never shared with you or really anybody in the Boise community how much Boise was like a jumping off point for me in my meditation teacher journey.
Really?
Yeah. Can I share that story?
Oh my gosh, I would love it. Yes.
Okay. Are we like getting close to time? No. Are we good? Okay.
You're beautiful. You're perfect.
Okay. 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 So when I moved here, I moved from Chicago. So anybody who's not familiar with Chicago, let me just paint the scene a little bit. Like I'm sure you understand, but it's a major city, concrete jungle, like buildings everywhere, people everywhere. So when I moved here, it was like a breath of fresh air. I was like, oh my God, we lived right by the foothills. I would be out there on the foothills every single day. Cause I was like, people live by this? How is it possible? It's so beautiful. And I would see like through the seasons, how the foothills would change. So one day I was out there hiking and I just like got this idea. It was a strange idea kind of. And I was like, I am going to lead people in hikes on these foothills and guided meditations.
That's
at the top
when you
of the
started
hill.
That.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was just like,
it's really cool.
Okay, fine. And I was like, I will trust that. So I went home, put something on Meetup, put this like in a Rebel Hikes. And I remember like the first person that signed up who actually we both know.
Oh yeah.
And is an amazing human being. And I feel like she's like an angel. And, people came to the hike. I was like, oh my God, it works. You know, I'm a transplant. I'm from Chicago. I don't understand like what everything means in Boise, but I was just out there guiding meditations and hikes for people out there. And it was one hike. I think it was like maybe my second or third, pretty big group of women. And every time I would do the hikes, it would grow. Like six people showed up, then 10, then 15, then 20, then close to 30. I was like, okay, I think something's happening and something is, you know, here. But it was the second or third time and I was guiding a meditation, something I had written, and it was like a pocket of silence and everybody was in a circle. And it was like one of those moments you're talking about where you leave your body for a second. Mm. And I felt like I left my body for a second. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm getting goosebumps right now. I feel like I'm finally at home.
Oh.
Like, I feel like I am at home.
Wow.
And then I was like, well, I think I'm going to stay. So then I just continued on the journey. But Boise has been a huge component to that. Yeah.
What about this place do you think makes you feel the most at home? You know, like you said, being a transplant.
Yeah.
Your family, you've got your husband, your daughter here.
Gosh, that's a good question. I think, well, it was like in that moment I was coming home to like me, myself, and like I was like totally in my moment. But Boise does feel like home. Boise is like it's kind of like a beacon. You know, people come here. You're at ease when you're here and you can be yourself and people are super welcoming, super friendly. I don't know what it was, honestly. It just happened. Mm-hmm. Like, It was the right environment where like people were welcoming, friendly, open.
Yeah.
They like to be outside and I guess they like to meditate.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think what you just said though, because we do have a lot of transplants coming into the Boise area, but also a lot of, you know, when I think in traveling, you feel that too.
Yeah.
And when you meet people, like you said, when you're in the right situation and they talk, I can't remember what the quote is exactly, but how like home is not like a physical place,
yeah,
but it's like a sense of being, right? Yeah. And so that ability, and that's where I think that alignment with self from your meditation, mm-hmm. your ability to, you know, sit through those feelings that when you were 19 were just so overwhelming to sit with, it sounds like.
Too much.
Yeah, and creating that space, it takes that pressure off of, I need to make this physical space, mm-hmm. a home and rather like internally, how do I create a home for myself and a space where I feel at peace and at ease?
Yes.
I love what, that's beautiful.
You know what I was just thinking right now? It's very hard for me to turn off my interviewing mind.
I know.
And I'm like, oh, I am being interviewed.
I know.
So, okay. Yeah.
You're doing a great job. That's how I felt like on your podcast. I'm like, but I want to just keep asking you questions.
Yeah. So
it's really nice to be able to ask you these. And
right.
I think if you're okay with it.
Yeah.
I know you have a couple other things that people can find you on.
But yeah.
Before we get to that, I got these questions out. They're called, actually, I don't know what they're called. Actually, they're called love language cards. What is your love language?
Actually, my love language is gifts. Gifts and quality time.
Oh, perfect.
Wrap me up in a bow and put gifts and quality time with me.
Two out right now with one stone. I love that. Yeah. Okay. That's so cool. I feel like I could never.
What's your love language?
My husband and I were talking about this. Whenever I take it, I don't know. I just love love and I don't really like touch a lot, which is weird.
I don't either. Physical touch is not my love language.
It's not, which growing up though, I was a very like touchy, huggy person.
Yeah.
But I like words of affirmation.
Yeah.
I like communication. I like gifts, but I think words of affirmation and acts of service.
Oh yes.
Those are my acts two of service. Big ones.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. I like when people like follow through on what they say they'll do. And then if I come home and my husband like watered all my plants for me, I'm like, thank you.
Yes.
It's 100 degree weather.
Oh my God. I hope your listeners write you what their love languages are.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Message someone had sent something to me. I need to look back, but yeah. Message what your love language is. I almost think that's like the new Enneagram.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the Enneagram really is confusing to me.
I know.
There's so many numbers.
I know. I'm right there with you.
Four love languages?
Five, right? Or four. Five.
Probably five.
Yeah.
Touch, words of affirmation, service.
Gifts. And quality time.
Quality. I love quality time too. I just love love.
I just love love.
Just love love. Just don't touch me.
Oh my God. I'm the same way. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And I.
Is okay. Darren the same way?
No. Oh. I mean, he's the opposite.
He's the opposite.
He's like, touch me. Feel me.
I can see that.
Yes.
He's a love though. Like,
he's a lovey
teddy bear.
Love.
Yeah.
You know what's really cute as you're going through these cards is that Lily, actually, our daughter, I mean, she has been a huge like component to me, like opening up and being the person that I am.
Yeah.
But she is super I love. She like every day, I love you, I love you, you know, and screams it out the window from the car when she's leaving. But what I was going to say is that she's really into music. And so she was listening to a song. And after the song, she came up to me and she goes, Mom, during that song, I started to cry.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I just really felt it. And I was like, oh, wow, you're the coolest human.
She is the coolest. Like, the coolest. Luke has, when we hung out with you guys the other weekend, we went to your guys' pool.
Yeah.
And I brought this anthro like ball that I thought was like the regular size. I don't know, like 12 inches
it's
diameter.
It's jumbo.
It's like the size of a toddler.
Yes.
It's huge. And he asked Lily, I think there's like cheetahs on it. And he goes, is this a leopard or a cheetah? And she said, it's a cheetah. And he goes, how do you know? She goes like, from the leopard spots.
Duh.
He's like, wait, I'm so confused right now.
But she's so matter of fact. Like, I know this.
She's so confident. Like, Lily is the kind of child. And you can see, though, a lot of you and Darren and, like, who you are as individuals and how you've raised her. But she is. She's such a confident human and, like, just a love for life, a love for humans.
She's got zest.
We need to have her
on the podcast.
She's a zest girl. She's a zest girl.
But honestly, if I take like elements from her and like what makes me say she's got zest for life, honestly, it's that she's in every present moment.
Totally.
She's in all in, 2 feet in.
Even when she was eating her cake at that birthday party, like all the other kids were doing something and she was like, I'm
eating this cake.
It was the best.
True.
We can learn a lot from Lily.
Yes.
Lessons from Lily.
Here we go. And also she's super lighthearted. And I've watched her like she got really mad at her nanny. Like really mad.
Oh no.
But then I watched her like the cycle of forgiveness, and I got to teach her like what does forgiveness mean, and like how do you do this kind of thing, and what does it mean actually to forgive? Okay, fine, you can forgive the other person, but what does it mean to forgive within you?
Yeah,
like how do you get to experience forgiveness and like let it go? And then I would just, you know, she's four, so I was like, you just poof, like let it go, like it's out in the wind, it's no longer in your body. She goes, that's it? I was like, yeah, that's it. She goes, okay, I'm good. I let it go. I was like, wow. Oh my God.
Lessons from Lily. I'm telling Lessons you. From Lily. We could all use that.
Yeah, she's zesty. We could
all use that.
Yes.
She is. I feel like I could just, I haven't hung out with her a whole lot, but I feel like I could like tell a lot of stories about her, like her cookie when gave her cookie in my house. And that was like, talk about being present in the moment.
She loved that cookie.
She loved that cookie. Simba loved eating the crumbs after her. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm just going to ask you some lightning round questions.
Okay.
I'm going to start off like
I real like easy. Lightning round.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do too. Okay, yeah. So what's your favorite music genre?
Honestly, I think like, I don't know if this is the right term, but it's like dance pop, like anything that's like super high energy.
Yeah.
Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah, like that EDM. You like EDM, like Happy Music Festival.
Yes,
music.
Yes.
You got so it. Does Lily.
Yes. Yeah. We rock out in the car all the time.
Your favorite season?
Oh, summer. I am a summer girl.
Okay, me too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Summer. Bring it on.
Yes. Favorite place you've traveled?
Oh, favorite place. Okay. Oh, gosh. What comes to mind right now is Italy. Italy is just like... I went to Rome, Venice, and Florence, and I don't know. There's something about it where it's just like the pace of life, the people, the culture, the food. I fell in love.
Best.
Yeah. Have you been there?
Yeah. Yeah. Venice.
The same
Rome,
thing.
Florence.
Yeah.
We went to Montepulciano.
Ooh.
Ugh.
What's that? Ugh. Where is that?
It's like this little town on an, it's like a rocky, it's a rocky town.
Yeah.
But their wine. Ugh. We went there because we found their wine a while ago. And it's just fun to say Montepulciano.
Yeah,
like,
super
you sound
fun.
So fancy.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. And they have this like 1,000-year-old, don't fact check me on this,
yeah,
but
I
it's
won't.
Something 1,000-year-old cellar.
Okay.
Down with the wines. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's where we got engaged actually was on Cinque Terre in their little like a national park.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good look.
We'll have to have like another podcast talking about Italy.
Let's do it.
Italy's the best.
It is. It's amazing.
Okay. What is one thing you only do when you're on vacation?
What's one thing I only do when I'm on vacation?
Or that you do more of when you're on vacation?
First of all, I haven't taken a vacation forever.
You deserve a vacation.
Yes. One thing I do. Okay. I feel like oftentimes when I'm on vacation, this is kind of... it depends on the vacation, but like usually when I'm on vacation, I'll do some sort of like special like spa treatment or like something like seek out something that's like uber indulgent that I don't normally do.
Yeah. I feel like you should do that more here.
I definitely should. Like, you know what I'm dreaming for Boise to get as much as I love it. Like I miss the amazing hotels in Chicago that have those amazing, I know, you know,
yeah.
Like in New York City.
Oh, the best. I mean, I couldn't afford it when I lived in New York, but I fantasized about it.
Yeah. Well, there's some that I couldn't afford either, but there were some that I could. And I was like, give me all of this.
Oh, yeah.
I remember one time I took like a $400 massage, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
For a massage for 60 minutes. But it was.
Was it the best massage ever?
Oh,
though?
My God. The room, the experience, the thing. I was like, and it was right after I had Lily. And I was like, I'm treating myself.
As you should.
Right.
As a hardworking mom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're listening now and you're like looking for a business endeavor, now you know. We need those $400
spa hotel.
Massages.
Yes. We need them.
And a way to pay for them. Okay. I'm going to ask you from these cards too. Well, actually, I love this one. What would you tell your 25-year-old you?
Ooh, what would I tell my 25-year-old me? Okay. So at 25... you guys, like, I think a lot of people listening, they know me now as just being very easy and like, you know, but at 25, I was like, I got to make the career. I got to climb the ladder. I got to be corporate. I got, you know, it's just very much in that. So I would tell 25-year-old me, set some MFN boundaries. don't give away your energy to anything that's not going to benefit you. Like, that's not going to be good for you. Mm. Don't do that. And relax.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah.
You know, kick back for a second. Relax.
Yeah. Because life goes really fast after 25.
It does. And when you're 25, I feel like our culture, and like, I don't know if it was the same for you, I'm sure, but it was like, go now, achieve now, do, go, you know, and it felt like this pressure, like if I don't do it now, then my 30s will be all messed up or whatever. But yeah, the advice would be just slow down, relax, take it all in, enjoy your life.
Seriously. Like,
things will change. You won't be 25 again. So just enjoy it.
Was 25 a good year for you?
I feel like I was, it was a good year, but my life started to really like pick up in terms of like gaining self-knowledge and self-confidence. And like when I was like 27, I started to really like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm coming closer to what I should be experiencing in life.
25 is like, you're still having fun, but like, you're right. Like, they're pushing you
to
go.
Very like I had to achieve a lot of things.
If you could travel back in time for one day, what year would it be and why?
If I could travel back in time.
You got excited on that one.
I know. I was like, okay, I have never thought about that. If I could travel back in time to one day in one year.
In any year.
Oh, in any year. What would it be? Recently, what's been on my mind a lot is like my childhood. So, oh, but you said one day. I know. Gosh. Yeah. Okay. Well, recently I've been just thinking a lot about my childhood. So I would say, I don't know the particular day, but, I would go back to like when my grandma and grandpa had a farm and it was just the best. Mm-hmm. So I'd go back to like experience the farm for one more day.
Yeah.
Just ask them maybe a few more questions that I didn't ask, you know, that they're not here anymore. So
my grandparents also had a farm.
They
and that's
did?
Like one of my biggest regrets is not asking more questions.
Yeah.
Like, I found that on my road trip with my dad.
Yeah.
Like, he was telling me stories where I'm like, why am I not like having a recollection of you ever telling me this story?
Yeah.
And I think I just didn't ask enough questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And barns are, did your grandma or grandpa, were they big like collectors?
Yeah. My grandpa had an antique shop on the farm.
Okay.
He built the antique shop and he had like a huge, like passion for antiques. So we'd go into the antique shop and we would see all these like eclectic and cool things. And I wish I would have been old enough to be like, what were you thinking? Who were these people? What were, you know?
Yeah. That's exactly. We had, and my grandma liked to, or my Nana, she would go garage sailing.
Yeah.
Like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We're out in the boonies. So you're
die hard.
Oh my gosh. Die hard. And they lived. So I believe, and this is again, like where I should have asked more questions, but the Underground Railroad actually went underneath one of their.
You did tell me that.
Yeah. Okay. So it must be true if I've told you already, but I feel like my memory's failing me at my old age, it's so interesting. And like, I think that's something where like, this is another podcast you could have, but talking about like culturally, like making sure we're asking more questions.
Yeah. And like, we really like honor our elders.
100%.
I've recently been asking my mom a lot of questions and like, and having Lily be present for those moments. Cause like, you know, I don't know. And like trying to document in email form. Like I write Lily emails to her email address that I created for her and just saying, hey, this day you did this. And yeah.
Okay. That is so super duper cool.
I think she'll like it when she's older.
She'll love it.
Yeah.
My grandma on my dad's side, I just got it and she wrote a book.
Oh, wow.
Of our ancestry.
Oh.
She was super, super into genealogy.
Yeah.
And her and my grandfather, who's still alive, they would travel all over an RV.
Aww.
And they did it with my dad growing up.
Yeah.
And just like, they loved learning.
Yeah.
And they put together this book and like talking about all of our relatives. There's pictures and aligns with like each picture's numbered.
Oh, cool.
And in the book, it goes to the number.
Oh,
so I'm looking forward to like sitting down and reading
your
that.
Your family is so cool.
They are. They're really cool.
That's why
cool.
You're so cool. I mean, you're cool independently,
but they're really cool.
Yeah.
Like I after our road trip, I kind of sat back and I was like, wow.
Oh.
Like, actually, my parents are going to be on the next podcast.
Oh, yeah. I know. I can't believe I'm before your parents.
Crazy. Well, they're coming on. My birthday's next week. So it seemed very fitting.
Yes.
That they like come in on my birthday.
Yes, and do this.
Yeah. And I'm excited, like you said, to ask them questions.
Oh, it's going to be
so
cool.
Learn more about them.
Yeah.
Okay. I have two more questions for
you.
Okay. This is kind of more of like a fluffer, but also I think important. Like people really enjoy this. But what is part of your daily routine that you look forward to every day?
Okay. I really look forward to meditation. I know it's like,
I thought that would be it.
Right. Okay. But I genuinely do. Like I carve out time. Like I even sometimes shorten my workout. So like my morning routine is like, I wake up at like a ridiculously early time, but it's all I can do. Cause I do have a 4-year-old who wakes up between 6:30 and 7.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm up at 4:30 and then I do a workout, but I will shorten the workout if I feel like intuitively she's going to wake up early and so that I can get 20 minutes in and do my meditation. But I not only do my meditation, I pray is the wrong word, but I talk to God and I just talk and like say what's on my heart in terms of like what I would like this day to look like and feel like and be like. And so, I really do.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite part of my day. Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's why you carry such good energy. Like I know whenever I'm around you, I'm going to leave feeling better.
Aww.
And yeah. So I think it like your intentionality and how you start your day, it's very infectious.
Yeah.
So. And then the last question is, what are you looking forward to the most in the next year?
Okay.
I know.
I'm looking forward to, honestly, I'm looking forward to, like the collective energy of just being a little bit more less on edge.
Yeah.
Like having everybody just be a little bit more at ease, you know, hopefully the pandemic in every country is coming to an end.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to, the new creative things that I'm putting out into the world. I'm looking forward to like seeing how this evolves. I know it's going to do amazing things. I'm looking forward to so many things that I think have just been brewing for so long. I'm looking forward to seeing like how Lily, you know, she's 4 going to 5. Like, whoa, it's going to be so cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to a lot of things. And I think that actually is pointing to living a zestful life.
Yeah.
When you're looking forward to your life.
Yeah.
Like you're literally 2 feet in looking forward to what's to come.
Wow. Look at that. Full circle. That's how I ended my last podcast. I'm like, I love when things come full circle.
I love it. Yeah.
Gosh, thank you so much. Like you're just such a gem. And, you know, I know a lot of the listeners, whoever those are, 5 are following you or know of you.
Yeah.
But for those who don't, can you let them know where they can find you? And then also I know you have a couple courses that you have for meditation. Where can they find those?
Okay. So the best place to follow me is at innerrebel.co. That's Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I'm really not there, but you can follow me on Facebook if that's your place. And then if you are into meditation and you want to meditate on the regular or you want to begin, there's 2 courses launching on Insight Timer. Insight Timer is a free app. You can download it. There's thousands of meditation teachers there. You can find me at Lauren Lee on Insight Timer, and there's 2 courses and it's 10 days, super fast, super easy, you know, lighthearted, down to earth. Yeah. And if you're in the Boise area, just pop over, say hello.
And she puts out some great, your reels are the best. They're like my daily affirmations. I just look at them. I'm like, what's she going to post today? So you're very active on social, but
yes, I love it.
Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
And I look forward to having you on again. I feel like we have many other conversations.
I will love definitely to be here again.
Okay. Hey, cheers again.
Cheers. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me as your first guest.
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Life Zesters. I hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. If you have any comments or if you would like to be a part of this podcast, please, please reach out. Again, you can find me at Genevieve_Nutting Howarth with a TH at the end. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll see you next time.
Oh my God, you're so profesh.
You're profesh.
I was like, she should be a radio DJ.
Oh, get out. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nuttinghauer, and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.